Well, good afternoon. Welcome to another Daily Devotion. It's great to be together. Today we're going to be thinking about what you should do when you sin. But before we get there, let's pray. Father in heaven, we thank you for your love for us. And we pray that you would bless our time together this afternoon, that we might understand well what your word has to say. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Well, if you're your first time tuning in with us, we've been working our way through the first epistle of John, the first letter of John, and we find ourselves in chapter 2 today. So if you've got your Bible, we're going to be reading 1 John chapter 2, verse 1 to 2, and I'll be using the ESV. My little children, I am writing these things to you so that you may not sin. But if anyone does sin, we have an advocate with the Father, Jesus Christ the righteous. He is the propitiation for our sins, and not for ours only, but also for the sins of the whole world. Well, I remember preaching one time and preaching about how we have to live and some of the commands that Jesus made, and someone came up to me and we had thought in the passage a little bit about what it means to follow Christ. And someone came up very concerned because they weren't doing it. And they were worried that maybe that meant they weren't a Christian. And this is not an uncommon thing, I think, when we consider like what John has considered in the second half of chapter 1. He talks about walking in the light and not walking in the darkness. He talks about not being deceived about the sin that we have. He talks about making sure that we're confessing our sins. And often at times like that, some Christians will really struggle because they'll start to doubt their salvation. They'll start to doubt whether they're truly saved. Well, what about all of my sin? And John, in the beginning of his chapter, says that he's writing these things because he doesn't want us to sin. He wants us to live for Christ. And I love the pastoral tone that John uses when he says, my little children. And you can hear the intimate feeling of John for these people, can't you? My little children, I don't want you to sin. And you can imagine the reader when this letter turns up and the representative stands at the front of church, maybe a fellow minister who knows, stands up and he reads these words. And you can imagine someone sitting in the congregation, and as they hear these words, they think to themselves, oh, but I have sinned. Oh, but I do sin. In fact, just this week I sinned. Just this day I walked in the darkness. And maybe you're feeling like that. Maybe you're feeling, well, I walk in the darkness. I've rebelled against God. I've mistreated my family. I've stolen something, or I've misused the Lord's name, or I've caused people to do evil. And there's a whole host of different things that might be. I've loved something more than God. And you start thinking, well, what about me? What hope is there for me? What hope is there for me who has given in to the temptation of sin? And John, before he moves on, he gives this most blessed assurance in verse 1 and 2 for people like yourself, people like me, who struggle with sin, who get it wrong, who mess it up. He gives us hope. So firstly, he says in chapter 2, verse 1, that we have an advocate. If we do sin, we have an advocate with the Father, Jesus Christ, the righteous. What is an advocate? Well, if when you hear the word advocate, you think of a sort of legal courtroom, that's really helpful because that's really what John's talking about. The word is actually, interestingly, the same word that gets used of the Holy Spirit as the Parakletos, the comforter, the helper, or the advocate. And it can be used in quite a few different ways. And one of the most common ways it was used, which is how it's being used here, is like a lawyer, a legal aid, a legal advocate. And it was used of someone who knew you really well, a friend who would come alongside you in a courtroom. and they would defend your case. They would defend your character. They would describe what you're like. So someone's bringing charges against you, and you'd turn to your friend Peter and you'd say, "Peter, can you please come and speak for me in this court case? I need someone to bear witness and bear testimony that it wasn't me, that that's not what I'm like." Well, John says that before the Father, before God in heaven, we have an advocate, Jesus Christ, the righteous. But lest you think, as you sin, this is often how it goes, we sin and we picture heaven, and we picture the Father looking at us with a frown, looking at us with anger, looking at us with really disapproval. But that's not the picture. Who is the accuser of the brethren, according to the scriptures? It's the devil. And the scriptures say that he never ceases to accuse us. He's always accusing us before God. Like with Job. Job won't continue to worship you. Job won't continue to love you. Just accusation after accusation. And so the picture is you've sinned and you lift up your eyes to heaven and you see the throne room of God, and there is the devil, and the devil's accusing you of your sin, of your brokenness, of your failure, of all that's wrong with you. And yet there's an advocate there. There's a friend. There's someone who loves you and who knows you, and he is perfectly righteous. And he defends you. Jesus, who has given you his righteousness, stands before the Father and says, "All that the devil says is not true. It's all lies. This one is not sinful." And as you lift up your eyes to the throne room of God, what you hear is Jesus defending you. Though you've sinned, though you confess your sins, yet Jesus defends you and says, "No, no, this child, this brother or sister of mine is perfect." And you might think, how can he say that? How can Jesus advocate for me when I've just sinned, when what the devil says is kind of true? I'm a sinner. I've acknowledged I'm a sinner according to chapter 1. How can the devil not be right when he accuses me of sin? Well, because John says that he is, in verse 2, he is, Jesus that is, the propitiation for our sins. And not for ours only, but also for the sins of the whole world. You see, what happens when you confess your sins, what happens when you come to God and you say, "I'm a sinner, forgive me." Christ advocates on your behalf, but he doesn't advocate based off your character. You see, in the civil courtroom, what does the advocate say? He says, "Well, this guy or this girl, she's not all that bad. She didn't do it. I was there. I know she didn't do it. She's innocent." Jesus doesn't stand there and say, "He's innocent. Logan didn't do the sin." Jesus doesn't say, "She's innocent. She never committed any sins." No, he holds up his hands to the devil and to the Father, and says, "I am their propitiation. I have been punished. They're innocent because I have paid for the price." And it's as if he takes off his garments and shows the stripes on his back, and shows the blood-stained brow, and shows the holes in his hands, the hole in his side, the holes in his feet, and there is the forgiveness of sins. There is our freedom. And so we need not doubt whether we're saved. We need not doubt whether God's salvation is sufficient, whether there's forgiveness for us. No, not at all. No, we can boldly approach. Remember the song, "Boldly I Approach"? Where do we boldly approach? Boldly we approach the throne of grace. "I have a strong and perfect plea," we sing. What's the perfect plea? It's not me and my goodness. It's not me and my righteousness. It's Jesus Christ. I have a great high priest who ever lives to plead for me. See, the key to forgiveness, when you sin, when you fall short, the key to salvation, the key to not being beaten down by your sin is not you. The key is never to look inward. The key is to look outward. It's to look to Christ, who is seated at the right hand of God, the Father Almighty, who ever lives as your advocate. And when 1 billion years have gone by, yet still the Son of God, the Son of Man, Jesus Christ, our advocate, will be at the right hand of God the Father with holes in his hands, a hole in his side, stripes upon his back, declaring you innocent. So you need not wonder if you're forgiven. You need not wonder if there's forgiveness for you, if there's salvation for you. For as sure as Jesus lives, so sure is the salvation on offer for you. But here's the wonderful thing. It's not just on offer for you. It's not just on offer for me. It's on offer for the whole world. Now, does John mean that Jesus died to save every single person that's ever lived? No, of course not. We understand it the same way we understand John 3 verse 16. For God so loved the world that he gave his one and only Son. Why? So that whoever believes in him will be saved. In other words, John's saying it's not just for us, but this salvation has been won for all who will call upon him, all who will come to him. And this should fire in us a zeal to speak to people, a zeal to minister to people, a zeal to proclaim the gospel. Because all, the whole world, all who turn to Christ will live. Your child who's walked away, your friend, your loved one, your neighbor, your work colleague, any who call upon the name of the Lord Jesus Christ will be saved. What a blessed hope, isn't it? Yeah, I said when the person came to me that I mentioned earlier who came and said, how do I know if I've saved, I've sinned? I said, the reason you know you're saved is because Jesus Christ can never be silenced. No one can ever stop Jesus from advocating for us. His propitiation, his wrath removing, which is what propitiation means, can never be taken away. That's the assurance we have. What a blessed Savior. Let's pray. Father in heaven, we thank you for your Son. We thank you for the fact that he stands at your right hand. He sits on your throne. He intercedes for us. He is our advocate. He has been our propitiation, and the threats of the devil can never stand. We pray that you would forgive us. We ask that you'd help us not to rest upon anything except for the work of Jesus Christ, in whose name we pray. Amen. Well, thanks so much for tuning in once again with me this afternoon. It's been lovely to get together. I hope you enjoyed the word, and I look forward to seeing you back here again tomorrow, same place, same time. God bless.